Father, we, God, you just want to give you the glory and the honor, Lord, for every work that you've done, Lord. And God, thank you that as that lady came to prophesy to us, God, it's a new season. And Lord, I thank you, God, for the new season, and we can see the evidence because you, Lord God, are faithful, Lord. We can see the evidence, Lord God, of people getting saved, people getting healed, people getting delivered in Jesus' name. And I want to thank you for my own deliverance, Lord, that I've received last weekend and the weekend before that, Lord. God, you are so faithful, Lord, and we just want to celebrate you. I want to honor you, God, as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we surrender completely to your purposes. And God, I pray and we dedicate this service, Lord, to you. And we just say, Lord God, let your name be glorified. Let your name be glorified, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. You may be seated. Thank you, Flo. He's without a wife this week, so please pray for him. And Leandra is without a husband, so please pray for her. It's almost like after you've been running, I've used to run quite a lot of races, like marathons and stuff, and when you finish the race, you are tired, but you just so, you feel like what now? And it's almost how I feel now. It's like it feels like I've been running a race for so long, and I can start seeing the promises that God is starting to do. So I'm very excited for just what happened in the last couple of weeks, that I can really experience the blessing of God. Tuesday night, I just felt in Bible school, we're doing setting the captives free, and I said, okay, just quickly, this is what it is, and we did Foundations 4, and it was amazing, it was really amazing, and then Encounter 1 was, I think 4 or 5 people gave their hearts to the Lord, many people got spirit-filled, so I'm very excited to see what God is really doing in our lives, so I'm... We've been standing and praise God for that, you know. And I think last week when this evangelist Mercy Oakham came to speak to us, she spent quite a lot of stuff with me as well. And just what she said, I knew it was true. And we've been taking so much persecution and satanic attacks against us as a church. And I know what the reason is now, for one reason. I'm going to share it with you today, that I really believe this is why, as a church, we've been under so much persecution, for one reason. And I'm going to work my way to it, but I'm calling it the Kingdom of God, and I preached on it last Sunday in the morning service, but a different sermon. So if you were here, probably most of you weren't here, but the angle is a bit different tonight than what it was this morning. If you're new in our church and you haven't, you don't know, but we record all the sermons if you want to go and listen to it, www.shofaronline.org, and then you choose Somerset West, and then there's an option there for download, and then you can get all the sermons there. But I also want to direct you to Stellenbosch as well. There was a sermon there called Nate Becker that preached on the Holy Spirit before he started York, and it's amazing. You have to listen to it. It really opened me to really what God and what the Holy Spirit is there for. So we really have to, I really believe, seek God's Spirit in and live by the Spirit of God. So please go and listen to it if you have the opportunity. But the Kingdom of God, the Kingdom of Heaven, in Luke it talks about the Kingdom of God. In Matthew it says the Kingdom of Heaven. It's basically the same thing. Some people believe it's different, but most theologians agree that it refers to the same thing. But what is the Kingdom of God? And, you know, we're seeking God, but God is saying we must seek His Kingdom. So it's not only God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but it's also His Kingdom that He wants us to seek. And what is this Kingdom of God? But when Jesus came, when the first sermon He preached, He said, "Repent, for the Kingdom of God is at hand." That's the first thing He said, repent. And whenever He went, He was preaching repentance And preaching the good news of the kingdom of God. So that is what Jesus came to do. He came to preach the kingdom of God. But when he, the first sermon after the Holy Spirit came upon him, he was baptized, he came out of the water, he was led by the Holy Spirit into the desert to be tempted, he was stood, he came out, and then he started preaching. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. But, you know, Gustav Botha's father, Gustav and his father came to my house on Friday to just pick up a DVD, The Perfect Wave. If you ever have to watch it, it's really amazing. So his father was speaking to me. He's a dominee, or he's a retired dominee of Seder Gemeente, and we were talking about this one word, repent. And the word in Greek, metanoia, it's not saying, oh, Here, ek is a sleg mens, vergewe my nie. I'm confessing sins. It talks about a turnaround in who we are. So, it's a complete turnaround, 180 turn in everything, opposite of our thinking, of our emotions, of our lifestyle, of our character, of our morals. It's a complete turnaround, what Jesus was preaching. So when he said, repent, it's turn to God. Completely turn out of the way from where you are, return to the things of God. It's a complete turn that he doesn't want us to live with in the world, but he wants us to turn around and to live in the kingdom of God. So when God he talks about a return or turn from evil and wickedness, the love and the comfort of the world, where God says, turn to me. And this evangelist Mercy, what she said, and I knew this was for us, is to clean house. We must clean house. And this is talking about the stuff that is holding us in this world. That she said, clean the house. I believe this is what God is saying to us. Clean house. And I'm cleaning my house. And I want to encourage you to clean your house as well. All the stuff that you know is there that you shouldn't be doing, get rid of it in the name of Jesus. And come to that place where we completely surrender to the purposes of God. You know, because many times, and there's been a lot of pressure to, don't repent, and you're always focusing on the sin and the bad things, and we in a way get pressured to not preach sin or repentance of sin. There's pressure in this world to wanting to tell us and say to us that Jesus has done the finished work on the cross, so in Jesus you don't have to repent of sins anymore, which I believe is not correct. Just by repenting this weekend, last weekend, I just felt so free. So, thank you. And that's where the deliverance came, from the place of repenting, of turning to God, completely turning to Him. God, I'm a sinful person. Knowing, yes, He's done it on the cross, but I myself have to say, Jesus, forgive me for the things that I've done wrong. Because slowly but surely, like evil has been creeping into my heart. And just into the world again. And just by turning back to God, God could come and cleanse all the stuff that's been there. And I felt like a complete new man. Even Paul, in Acts 26, verse 20, he said that he should go and preach and tell the people, the Gentiles and then the people, to repent and to turn to God. They must repent and turn to God. So it's a place of turning around, forgiveness of sins, and turning to God, performing deeds in keeping with their repentance. So that goes together. And there's pressure to say, no, you preach works, and it's about works, and Jesus has done it on the cross. But yeah, even Paul said himself, repent, turn to God, and then perform deeds in keeping with their repentance. So there's an outflow of turning to God that you can see the good works. So we're not doing good works to impress God. We can never do that. But because of our turning to God, there's something that God does in us, and the good works that flow from that place. And this is the place that I'm really knowing we've been missing. Because we just say, yes, just come into His presence, come into His presence. But when God speaks to us, we don't respond on the Holy Spirit. And we've been missing the goodness that God wanted to do with us. Jesus, when he was on this earth, he preached Matthew 4, verse 23. He taught in the synagogues. He proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom. And he healed every disease and every affliction amongst the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. He healed all. So he preached the gospel of the kingdom of God, and he healed. And the people of demons got delivered. The power of God. So there was something when Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom of God, that everyone that came to him got healed. Jesus instructed the people. He said, Mark 16, verse 20, go out, preach everywhere. And then when they went out, the Lord worked with them and he confirmed the message with accompanying signs. There was amazing things that are starting to happen. You know, and Angus Bachan says, one miracle equals 1,000 sermons. When you pray for someone, and I just used the example of Sri Lanka last year, this lady couldn't walk, we lay hands on her, we pray for her, and now she's walking, and we say, it's Jesus. Now it's not difficult to tell her with all the stories, no, this is what God has done. She can see, because she couldn't walk properly, now she can walk. Or a lady who's blind, and we just say, come, we pray for her, and then she can see, it's Jesus. Now she gives her heart to the Lord. It's just the power of God that confirms the message that he's speaking, because God heals all the time. You know, and I just spoke to someone who, a brother or a friend of him, he's got very injured. But you know, the goodness of God. I remember we went out to Makassar, and Gerard still came with me. And I had 4 words of knowledge, and I came forward, and I shared the 4 words, and Louis was playing the guitar, and he was ministering to the people, and the next moment 4 ladies were standing in front of us, and then we started praying for them, and Petrus, and Tani Belinda, and the one lady went down, I still remember that, and she got deliverance, and really good people seeking God, knowing God. And but then everyone wanted prayer, and we prayed for everybody. But there was 2 prayers that I will never forget. The one lady said her grandchild is a baby in hospital. Can I pray for her? And the other one, her husband is an alcoholic. Can I please pray for them as well? So I prayed and bless you and give a hug, and God is good. But 6 months later, this lady came to me and she said she was with them. And that lady with the husband, he came home and he said, I'm finished drinking. I never want to drink again. And then the baby that night was taken out of hospital, was released from hospital as well. So sometimes we pray, the power of God changes lives. And this is really where I'm challenged tremendously in my seeking God, is the power of God. Because even Jesus said that if I'm not doing the works of my Father, don't believe me. If I'm not doing the works of my Father, don't believe me. And this is challenging me tremendously. Matthew 10, verse 7 and 8, Jesus said to his disciples, he said to them, go out, proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He said to the disciples, go, proclaim the kingdom of God is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without pay. Go out, proclaim the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. I really believe God is challenging us to really seek him in faith, to go out to proclaim the kingdom of God, and that he would demonstrate it by the power of God. That people will know this, what this person, what these people are saying, this is God. This is God. My life has been changed because this is the true God. This God is alive. This God is alive. Luke 9 said, Jesus called the 12 together and he gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. And many times I'm seeing those two going together. They preached and they had to and to heal. They preached and heal. The power of God. In 1 Corinthians 4 verse 20 says, for the kingdom of God does not consist of talk, but in power. And we many times go, we talk and we talk a great game. But I believe God wants us to have the faith, to grow in the faith, where the power of God will confirm the message that we're speaking, that this God is great. So I'm talking about the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? And where I'm starting to see where we may be losing our focus and losing where God wants to take us. Because now we hear scriptures like this and we're seeking the power. We seek the power, we want the power, we want to lay hands on people and for them to be healed. But why do we want that? What is the reason behind it? And, you know, the more I'm looking at the kingdom of God, I'm starting to see something about the heart of God. And His heart is for the harvest. God's heart is for the harvest, is for the lost. His heart is to get people saved, to bring in the harvest. And there, when we preach the gospel, when we preach the good news, it's the harvest that we preach. It's the people getting saved, the kingdom of God, who Jesus is. Repent, turn to God in the name of Jesus. And that message, God will prove by signs and wonders. I really believe that. In Matthew 13, there's this parable, and Jesus says, I'm talking to people in parables. So for those who understand, I'll share the secrets. Those who do not understand, I'm only going to speak them in stories. I will only tell them stories. But those who have committed to me, I'll give them the truth. But the first parable that he's talking about is about the sower that sows seed. And the one, some of the seed falls on a path, and then nothing comes from that. Some falls on rocky ground. It grows, and then it dies. Some fall amongst thorns. The thorn comes up, and it gets destroyed. And then some falls in good ground, and it produces a harvest, 160 and 30-fold. And then when they ask Jesus, what is this? What does it mean? He explained to them what this parable, what this story is meaning. And he's saying to them, those that fall from the path, it's people, it gets sown, they hear the word of God, because the seed is the word that's been spoken to them. It's the word of God that's been spoken to them. So they hear this word, and then it says they don't understand it. They don't understand the word that has been told to them. The evil one comes and he snatches away that which has been sown in his heart. So that it get taken away. In Luke, it explains it a little bit differently. It says, so that they may not believe and be saved. So when the seed is sown, the words are sown, that people can hear the word, believe, and get saved, and come into the kingdom of God. So the seed was sown, they didn't receive it, so they're not getting saved. Then there are the seeds that are sown on the rocky ground, in verse 20. And it says, these are sown on rocky ground, and this is the one who hears the word, and immediately they receive it. They say, yes, with great joy. I'm giving my heart to the Lord. They come forward. They're excited about Christ. They say, yes, I'm doing everything for God. They're very, very excited. They've given their heart to the Lord. And they're excited about what Christ has done for them. And they talk about and tell everyone, I've given my heart to the Lord. They're very excited. But then it says, and they receive it with great joy. Yet that person has no root in himself. They endure for a while. But when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, the tribulation comes on account of the word, he immediately falls away. In Luke it says, they believe for a while, but in a time of testing, they fall away. The seed gets sown, they receive it, they're very excited, and then they start taking shots, and they lose it. They fall away because of the tribulation on account of the word. And I believe, guys, we've been standing here. We've been standing. The suits have come and we've been standing. And praise God for that. I really believe it's because the seed has been sown into good ground. Matthew 13 verse 22 says, "As for what was sown amongst thorns," now some of the seed that fell amongst the thorns, "this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and it proves unfruitful." In Luke it describes it this way, it says, "The cares and riches and pleasures of life and the fruit does not mature." And this is where I almost got taken out. The stuff of the world, I got taken in by this. You know, all the happenings and all the events and this thing and that thing and all of it being put on top of me and I'm getting so, and it's getting me down. And I really believe this is where the word was almost choked out of me. And I believe maybe some of you can identify with that, where the cares of the world has been choking the word from you, the faith, standing in God, believing God from you, and because it wants us to be unfruitful, not to walk in the fruit of the gospel of God. But then it says, Luke also says, the fruit does not mature. So there was some fruit, but then the fruit fell away. So the fruit didn't come to grow, to fulfill itself. Matthew 13 says, verse 23, "As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and he understands it." So it's a doer and a hearer of the word. They hear it, they understand it, it bears fruit, and it yields. And it yields. Yields means harvest. Means produce, crops, profits, it's income, stuff happens. Fruit and yields, a hundredfold, whatever the case might be. So this harvest, the kingdom of God is about harvest. In Luke it says, John it says, "We prove to God that we are disciples by the fruit that we bear." God is after the harvest. He wants us to bring in the harvest. Now, there's fruit or there's seed that's sown amongst good ground. I want to take you to Matthew 21. God is the God of the harvest. Matthew 21 verse 43 says, "Therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to people producing fruit." If we're not producing fruit, the kingdom will be taken away from us. And this is where I'm saying, oh my word, God is after the fruit. He's after the harvest. He wants us to be excited about the harvest, to pray about the harvest. Matthew 9 verse 35 says, "And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them. And because they were harassed and they were helpless, they were like sheep without a shepherd. He proclaimed the gospel, he healed the sick, he healed everyone, he had compassion because he saw these people were lost." And then he said to the disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out the laborers into this harvest." God's heart is the harvest. God's heart is for the lost. And I have lost focus on what God has called us here. He has called us for the lost, to go, to reach out, to bring people to Christ. That is God's heart. It's always been His heart, to go out to the lost, to bring in the harvest, because He's proclaiming the gospel of God. I believe we must pray earnestly. The whole thing that this a lady from Nigeria said to us, she said, the groundwork has been laid by Islam. They believe in the 5 years they can take over South Africa. They said in Nigeria they never thought it would happen. Dr. Batase said 5 years ago he spoke in Kenya. He said to them, the Muslims is going to take over Kenya. It's happening at this stage. 15 years ago he spoke in Switzerland, and he said this place is going to become Islam. It's very fast on track to become Islam. Two prophets spoke to us regarding this. I really believe we've got to pray earnestly. We must reach out to Islam people to get them saved, to come for them to know Jesus. I really believe this is the word that God is saying, that His way of attack is to bring people into the kingdom of God. To do spiritual warfare is to lead souls to Jesus. If you want to gain ground, is lead one soul to Jesus. When the more people we lead to Christ, the more the influence of darkness gets broken over people's life. The more we reach out and shine and tell of the goodness of God, that is spiritual warfare. It's not taking on the demons, it's bringing people to Christ in Jesus' name. Then he says, the next parable that Jesus said, there's good ground. The seed is sown in good ground. In Matthew 13, verse 24, that in this parable says, a man comes and he sows good seeds in the ground, in its wheat, the squirren. But then at night, when they were sleeping, the sons of the evil guys comes and they sow weeds, onkruid, tussen die koring. And then he says, let it grow up, because at this stage, when it's fully grown, we'll see which one is wheat and which one is wheat. Koring and onkruid. And then we can take it out and we can burn. So what I'm saying, this is the kingdom of God. While we're sleeping, the evil one comes to destroy the harvest by sowing seeds, bad seeds amongst us. But we cannot see it. We must wait until it's fully grown where we will see it. And I believe this is where we must guard ourselves. We must guard the harvest. We must guard our brothers and sisters in Christ. We must pray for one another. We must be in small groups together. We must reach out when a brother is falling. We pray for him, because the evil one is coming to destroy the harvest. He wants to destroy the good seed that God has sown into the lives of people. And I believe we have to be vigilant to protect the seed, to protect the harvest that God has given us. He says, the enemy comes and he sows weeds amongst the wheat. So when they asked Jesus, what does it mean? He said in verse 37, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man, it's Jesus. The field is the world. The good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is at the end of the age. The reapers are the angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so it will be at the end of the age. I believe God is saying we must protect the harvest. Then Matthew 12, verse 25. I believe this scripture is saying to us, we must keep the enemy out. Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and no city or house divided against itself will stand. If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? If I cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can someone enter a strong man's house, plunder his goods, unless he first binds the strong man? And indeed, he may plunder his house. Whoever is not with me is against me. And whoever does not gather with me scatters. Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste. No house or no city divided can stand. If we cast out demons by the finger of God, the Spirit of God has come upon us. I believe each one has the responsibility to keep our houses clean. When a strong man comes, we bind them, we tell them to leave. Because God, in the name of Jesus, then we know the kingdom of God has come upon us. It's not going to... Yes, there's a place for that, but I believe all of us have the responsibility and the authority by Christ to let the kingdom of God come into our houses and to command that spirit of heaviness in Jesus' name to leave. That spirit of whatever it is, to say, I take authority over you. That spirit of insanity in the name of Jesus, I command you to leave. Every filthy demon spirit in this place, I command you to leave in Jesus' name. Then we know the Spirit of God has come upon us. So we must take authority, because the enemy wants to steal the harvest of God. He wants to steal that harvest. And we must stand. And we must stand. And we must gather souls. Because if we're not gathering, the word says we are scattering. And this is to me. I'm like, oh my word, God, I have been missing this. I've not been gathering. God wants us to gather. He wants us to gather. He wants us to bring the guys who do not know Christ, to bring them into the kingdom of God. Now, there's a place that we must stand and resist. Submit to God and resist the devil. I'm going to ask you to come and fight with me. I'm not going to ask Gerard because that's unfair to Gerard. Kurt, come here. How many times do I have to speak to you? This is not a boxing match because then I will win. It's wrestling. And wrestling is pressure all the time. And it's wrestling. And we're experiencing pressure. And all the time, pressure the whole time. And we're falling under the pressure. But God says, resist. 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 Because there's pressure the whole time. And the kingdom of God is about resisting the pressure. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. But when he comes, we must stand. Stand, having done all to stand, stand. Because he comes for us. And we're taking strain, and the cares of the world, and all the things comes upon us. I'm not done with you. I'm only getting started. And, you know, you read all those scriptures about spiritual warfare. Yeah, I'm checking it out. It says that, be strong in the Lord, in the strength of God's might. Put on our armor that we're able to stand against the enemy. Because when he gets us to go like, oh, he's winning. Because, cannot draw. And God wants us to be light. Because where his light is, there's no darkness. So he's putting everything on us to get us to be and angry or upset or to get us to dislike one another, distrust one another, not being part, wanting to scatter. Satan wants to scatter because he doesn't want the harvest to come in. He wants to steal the seed that's been sown into the good ground. You see, stand firm. Wrestle. We wrestle against rulers, authorities, cosmic powers of darkness, spiritual forces of the evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor that we're able to stand in the evil day. Having done all, stand firm that we stand. God has called us to stand strong against what the enemy wants to come and do to us. Because this place, God is talking not about one foot here and the other foot here. And this is what this evangelist Mercy just came to say to us, get out of the world. Come into the kingdom with all that we have. The next parable about the kingdom of God is just saying the kingdom of God is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and he covered up. Then in his joy he goes, he sells all that he has, and he buys that field. The kingdom of heaven is like a man that purchases, he's a merchant of pearls. Then he finds that one of great value, of great price. And he sells all the others that he can buy that one. So it's a place where we surrender all the stuff of the world. Say, Jesus, I'm standing for the kingdom of God. I'm not one way here anymore. All the things of the world is drawing me into sin, into lust, into all those things. I'm walking away from it. I'm turning away. I'm turning to the kingdom of God, completely surrendering into the presence of God. So how do we enter this kingdom? Jesus says, you must be born again. If you want to come into this kingdom, we must be born again. But the thing is about being born again, many people believe if you say the sinner's prayer, you are born again. And I believe we say, if you just respond and come forward, we're going to pray for you, then you are born again. But we cannot do that. It's only God. It's only by the Spirit of God that we can get born again. John 3 says that unless, truly Jesus says, truly, truly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of Spirit is Spirit. There's a difference. Flesh and Spirit. God wants us to be born by the Spirit of God. And then he says, how does it look? He says, do not marvel again that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. What I'm seeing from this is, some people are in the kingdom. They've heard the seeds have been sown. They received it, but they've not been born again. There's not an excitement in them for the things of God, for the things of the kingdom of God. They look at you, you speak to them, and they're like, but I'm fine. They have all these reasons in their minds, but there's not something in them that goes, and they are excited about the things of God. That when the wind blows, we cannot see the wind. If you're standing inside a building, you cannot see that the wind is blowing, but you see the leaves move. When you stand outside, you can feel the wind. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. You can see. You can see in their actions they're different to what they used to be. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit of God. They have an excitement for the things of God. There's an excitement to do and to be and to love and to read the Word, to pray. There's something in you because the Spirit of God has been born in you. There's an excitement for the kingdom, for people. It's like one hungry beggar telling another hungry beggar where to get food. There's an excitement for the harvest because of the Spirit of God that is in us. God says to us, we must seek Him completely. And you know, this sermon of Cornette Becker is just, we so many times, and we talk about the harvest, and the harvest is not about laboring. It's about where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. It's not by power, it's not by might, but it's by the Spirit of God. I heard this amazing testimony this morning. This guy said, the one winemaker in this cell said, he had the most terrible wine that he made in 2010. And then this year, this wine was selected, was nominated and selected as the best prime wine in its category. And he said that he couldn't believe it. And the one girl said, but that's who we are. We think we are nothing, but God says we are the best wine that there is. And then everyone's like, pah! The whole cell is crying. This guy, when can I start? He's been 5 years coming to us, church on and off. He just wants to be planted here. He's just so excited. He can't stop. You know, and we want to be cell leaders and all these things. It's the Spirit of God just activated them. The Spirit of God. We must really trust the Spirit of God to do the work. It's not by our laboring what we have to do right. It's the Spirit of God that changes life. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. It's not effort. It's not the works. It's not tough. It's life. It's power. It's the healing. It's deliverance. It's people being set free. It's the power of God. But it comes by the Spirit of God. So we must desire the Spirit of God. The holiness of God. And this thing that Cornette Becker said that is amazing to me. The Holy Spirit, holy, is the root word for whole. The Spirit of God wants to make us whole before God. Whole. That we're whole people. But when we are broken, we operate out of brokenness, out of slavery. But the Holy Spirit wants to make us whole. And what he also says is when the Holy Spirit was hovering over the earth, it was formless. There was nothing. And he says, we say we must first be holy before the Holy Spirit can be here, which is wrong. The Holy Spirit is hovering here, seeking. He wants to recreate. The Holy Spirit wants to recreate all the time. And this is the place that I really believe God is taking us to, because God wants to change amazing things. That we're not anxious about saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What about tomorrow? But we're seeking the kingdom of God first. To seek the kingdom of God and its righteousness. What is God's kingdom? And I want to leave this in our hearts. God, what is your kingdom? Because we are seeking this. If we worry and doubt and it's not me, that is all world. That's the world. God wants to break away from the world to come and seek the kingdom, that we can live by faith, that we can walk by faith in Jesus' name. God says, I want to finish with this. Pray like this. Pray like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallowed be your name. We make God's great name. But we pray that his kingdom come where we work, where we live, in our families, in our marriages, in our homes, in our cell groups, in this town, in Strand, in Gordon's Bay, in Makassar, as it is in heaven. That's what we're praying for. In the school, in Ottendorf Holland, in this school, in Paul Valley, that God's kingdom come in the name of Jesus. Where we are, Lord, let your kingdom come in this place in the name of Jesus. God, I speak and I pray the Spirit of God to be here in Jesus' name. And every obstacle, leave in Jesus' name. That is the place that I really believe God wants to take us to. That we're not focusing a halfway Christianity, but it's a complete, I've sold everything that I had to buy that pearl of great price. So, I'm going to ask the ushers to hand out the communion. And then I'm going to ask Nadim just to play that clip that I played at Encounter 1 as they hand out the communion.
The job is not done in the world that Christ gave us to do, and the mandate is still binding on us today. That's why we speak of unreached people groups. But the missions is the back-breaking, culture-penetrating, darkness-shattering initial work to penetrate, plant the church, see it flourish, get its own elders, train its own people, evangelize its own networks. That's the task of missions. It's not over. And that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. And the alternative is hell. And millions and millions and millions of people are on their way there, and we have the only means of escape in our heads and in our hearts, Jesus Christ.
There are many prodigal sons on our city streets, they run searching for shelter. There are homes broken down. People's hopes have fallen to the ground from failures. This is an emergency, and there are tears.
just mundane people whom the world is not worthy have counted this cost and put their lives in risk. It makes the loss the only message of salvation.
I just feel late that we must actually just come before God and just say, God, sorry, we've lost our focus for the harvest, for the lost. We've become very self-centered. And if you can maybe agree with me, because this is the prayer that I'm going to pray now, just to ask God to deliver me from being self-centered, being focused on me and myself and my own issues, and not surrendering to His purposes, reaching out to people who really are in need of Christ. If we can just, two or three, just pray with someone and say, God, forgive us, Lord. And maybe you are sitting here and you've never given your heart to the Lord, and you realize that many years seeds have been sown in your heart and you've not responded. And you realize that you need to respond, because God wants fruit. He wants fruit. He wants to see fruit, that the Father can be glorified. And you want to respond, and you just maybe want to say, I want to follow Christ. I want to lay down my life. I've not been following Him. I want to come to Jesus tonight. If that is you, I want to give you the opportunity while every person is just praying, and just saying, God, forgive us that we've lost focus. If you can just turn to a brother or someone next to you, two or three people, that we can just pray and say, God, and if these people that you know do not know Christ, friends, family, that we just pray for them now. Just say, God, we pray for a brother, my sister, I pray for my colleague at work, God, for Pete. God, I've been praying for a long time. I've given up, Lord, but tonight in Jesus' name, we call in the brothers and sisters, Lord. We call them in. We pray for your spirit. And if you are empty, if you are drying, if you are dry tonight, I want to pray specifically for you. If you can maybe identify with what Marilei was saying, you are dry, and all these thoughts in your mind, and you carried and heavy and all those things, I'm going to ask that you come forward. Heinrich and Kurt and I can pray with you. And then for the rest, I just want to ask you to pray, please.
The people here that's got generational curses over their lives, you can see it in your Oma and your mom's life, maybe your uncle, and I believe the Lord wants to break it tonight. If you maybe feel that there's a pattern in your family's life, the deliverer is here, the greater I am, He wants to deliver you. And just feel specifically that God says, there's someone with barrenness, and He wants to come and break the curse of barrenness. And there's someone with spiritual barrenness, you can't bear fruit spiritually, you feel, like it just won't produce. I feel the Lord wants to come set you free. So if you would just come forward so we can pray with you.
I really want to encourage you. It's a new season. Respond on the word of God. Don't resist. Don't resist. Respond. I really believe this is a word from God. If this is for you, don't resist. Don't resist what God wants to do in your life. If you taking strain because of generational stuff, there's cycles in your life, there's stuff that is holding you down. You always see your family has been poor, and just as they come to a place, something happens and they lose everything. They lose the farm, they lose the house, and you've been struggling. You've not been walking in. You never get that opportunity. Everyone else gets it, but you don't get it. And it's that thing that I really believe God wants to break. Those curses that God wants to break over our lives. If there's been divorce in your family, or these sicknesses, and you're struggling to connect, to walk in the freedom of what God has called you, I believe that is what God wants to break. And this is the word that God is saying. Just respond on that. If anyone wants to respond to that. in Jesus' name. And I'm going to just ask that we just come before God, because He's a covenant-keeping God. And we just take the bread and the wine, knowing it represents Christ. And God is, keeps His covenant. And He said it's a new season. And God has said He's opened the doors that the King of Glory can come in. And that the King of Glory to come and wash and cleanse and deliver and heal in the name of Jesus. And I believe as we respond, God is going to do a mighty, mighty work in us. So let's eat and let's drink and just pray. Just surrender to God. Just pray for the people responding. Pray for deliverance. Pray that God, the deliverer, will set them free in Jesus' name.